Father, I thank you. I give you honor and praise as we fellowship together. Thank you, Lord, for the letters that we wrote, the writings that we spread before the Lord. And now we come to thank the Lord. This man comes to thank the Lord. This woman comes to thank the Lord. We all come to thank the Lord. And the entrance of your word, we declare, brings light and gives understanding. And receive all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you were with us in the room yesterday, a powerful declaration, prophetic 12:13. We pulled out the scriptures on the 13th day of the 12th month, that victory that the Lord wrought for the children of Israel, and how that they were to write for themselves, even before then, the things that they wanted, the victory they wanted over their enemies. And so I challenged everybody to write whatever they wanted. And if you missed that room, you're going to have to go listen to it. You must have really missed something. But I want to pick up on what comes after victory. You know, that's what we want to talk about today. You know, what comes after victory? Yesterday in the lesson where we were reading from the book of Esther, some portion of chapter 8 and a lot of chapter 9, we saw that the decree went forth among the Jews for them to take up a writing and write whatever, according to the words of the king, he said, whatever liketh you, however it likes you. In other words, however you want, whatever you wish, you know, against what victory are you looking for? Write it down. And if you did have those things written down, we asked that people spread it before the Lord. And we declared that this was the victory that we are getting. But there was another commandment and another instruction behind that. That it said that, well, not only was that day, a 13th day of the 12th month, to be the month in, the day in which they would get the victory over their enemies, but there was a commandment that went forth after that, that the following day and that after as well, which would be the 14th and the 15th, they were to commemorate the victory through celebrations, you know, feasting, dancing, etc. But we're going to do it with praise, you know, and also celebration in our hearts. But we're going to do it with praise. So if you were in the room yesterday, you would remember that. And some, some translations of these versions of the Bible call this the Feast of Purim. And I'm going to read what Mordecai wrote and the commandments he gave, you know, how that they will keep these 2 days, you know, after the day of the victory. Now, the day of the victory itself was the 13th day of the 12th month, which for us prophetically was yesterday. And so, but here is another commandment following that. Esther chapter 9 and verse 20. Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar. Yesterday we said, well, that was the 12th month in their religious calendar. And they have different calendars. They have a civil calendar, religious calendar, etc. Different from the Gregorian calendar. But prophetically, we picked up on it. You know, the 12th month and the 13th day was the day of victory And on the 14th day of the month Adar, he said, and on the 15th day of the same, yearly as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and of gifts to the poor. Gifts to the poor is so important, you know, especially at this time. You know, this is a season of giving. You know, we are getting close to Christmas. And during this time, there's usually all kinds of, you know, giving, commercialism, people buying, people giving, people receiving. It's all good. But remember the poor. Hallelujah. And also remember to give glory to God in the highest. If you make it all about giving and receiving and no glory to God, then you've missed the point. Because the angels that announced the birth of Christ, what they said was glory to God in the highest and peace and goodwill toward men. That's the way they announced it. First, give glory to God in the highest. When you do that, the giving and receiving of gifts is fine. But if you don't do the glory to God in the highest, and all you're doing is just packing and wrapping gifts and all these things, then it is vain. You know, we're not giving glory to God. But if you do give glory to God in the highest first, then the peace and goodwill toward men, which is the giving of gifts and receiving thereof, is fine. That's what the scripture says. You know, so now, also remember the poor. This was what Mordecai said. When you send your gifts, you know, bless the poor as well that are among you. But make it a day of fasting on the day after, I mean, feasting and joy, and then the day following. So that's exactly what we're going to do today. If you believe that the Lord answered those prayers that you spread before him, then today is a day of praise. Today is a day of thanksgiving. But I want to share a few other scriptures. Now, that's the background to what we are doing today. For further background, you will have to listen to yesterday's lesson in case you missed it. I hope that several people who are on here now were also here yesterday to be a part of that, you know, powerful, powerful lesson. And if you were, we're going to hear from you in a bit. Now, here are some things to consider. You know, after victory, what comes next? Well, obviously, celebration with praise and thanksgiving. That's number one thing to consider, which is what we're going to do today. But I also want to caution you not to let your guard down. So there are two things that we're going to consider and do this morning. I believe that there was a lot of victory, you know, that was released in the heavens yesterday because of your declarations and your pronunciations. You gave the heavens the go ahead to do those things. You know, the angels also, they were waiting, hearkening to the voice of his word. Well, when you gave voice to it also, at the end of the room, we said, declare it. But the angels sprang into operation. You may not see it, but God may show you sometime to see it. Then you understand even better when you do see it. But whether you saw that in the spirit or not, we do know that, you know, we have to come in agreement, you know, with the things. We can't declare one thing with our mouth and our heart is not there. That's not going to work. A lot of people actually do that. I mean, we'll be praying about things. We'll be even quoting the scriptures, but our heart's not really in it. Somewhere in our heart, we're doubting the thing, you know, and God is not mocked. You know, neither are the heavens mocked. The angels themselves, they are not mocked. They have their orders, you know. Their orders are very firm, you know. You wait for a release from their mouth in accordance with my word. That's what the Lord gave them order. And as soon as you hear it, you go and see to it that it comes to pass. You know, so we got to make sure that our faith and our hearts are in alignment with our mouth. And, you know, so that's one thing. The other thing is, you know, don't let your guard down after victories, because the devil himself, he never quits. You know, he never quits. There is a lesson that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. He talked about how the devil never quits. You know, even if he loses one battle, he comes back. You know, he said, well, the war is not over. It's never over as far as the devil is concerned. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, the Lord tells us and gives us this insight. And he said, when an evil spirit is gone out of a person, cast him out, and he's gotten the defeat, and the victory, the other person got the victory, the devil is defeated, and he left. Well, what does he do? Well, he says, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he said, I will return unto my house from whence I came out, you know, because he will come back or try to come back, you know. And then when he comes back, he finds the place empty, swept and garnished, because we didn't fill it up with the Holy Spirit or, you know, put up our guardrails so that we won't be able to re-enter. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell in there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. You know, so Jesus gave us that insight. You know, anytime we get victory over the devil, don't let your guard down. Hallelujah. Now, that being said, we will rejoice in the victory of the Lord. You know, there is a beautiful story. The same stories that we've told of Jehoshaphat, how he heard the word of encouragement when he thought, you know, he had no chance against the three companies and three armies that combined together to come against them. He thought he had no chance, but he looked unto the Lord and the prophetic word. That's right. The prophetic word inspired something in him. That's right. The prophetic word, we spoke about that a week or more ago. I don't know. The prophetic word can bring something into view there, energize something, cause a shift. And it caused a shift for him in his thinking to realize that they can actually do this. And then he set praisers, those that knew how to beat instruments of praise and to praise the beauty of holiness and all those things, he put them in front of the army, because now there is a shift in his mind. Instead of beefing up his army against those that came up against him, he actually put those who praised. These people had no clue on how to do fighting. All they knew was how to praise the Lord. And that was a shift that came because of the prophetic word that he received. So we talked about that before. But this same Jehoshaphat, let's pick up this story. A second part of this story is so important. We read the first part. Most people know the first part, you know, but we skip the second part, which is equally important, perhaps even more. You know, because after, you know, that the Lord gave them this victory in the wilderness of Tekoa, we are told that they came back into a place called the Valley of Berakah. After the battle of the wilderness of Tekoa, they came into this place called the Valley of Berakah. And what did they do there? Well, let's look at the story. you know, so in Second Chronicles, you know, chapter 20, you know, the rest, you know, the first part of the story. Well, let's pick it up, you know, after the Lord had given them the victory. Let's pick up this story, at verse 22. Now, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of that, then they turned and destroyed one another. So the Lord vanquished them, set ambushments in their minds. They were fighting what were their allies and thought they were fighting Judah. And so God gave them a delusion. They destroyed, you know, one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, now this is the wilderness of Tekoa, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none had escaped. Ah, because that's what the Lord had told them. You will not even need to fight in this battle. The Lord will fight for you. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves, and more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days, see, in gathering the spoil. It was so much. They gathered the spoil. They went, they carried, put some away. They came back, carried some more, put some away. They carried, I mean, there was so much. You know, I don't know why, you know, the Lord allowed those people or put it in their hearts to bring all that stuff when you are going to battle. But, you know, when the Lord wants to do stuff and transfer wealth, he can make the spirit of delusion in different ways come upon your enemies. These people thought that they were going to annex, you know, Judah and Jerusalem and so forth and move in there. So they brought a lot of things to settle down. But all that stuff was going to be turned over, they didn't know it, to Judah, Jehoshaphat, and his people. So 3 days they were gathering of spoil. And on the fourth day, see, this is the thing. What comes after victory? Well, you know, there was a story of that Jesus told, you know, and we know the story as the 10 lepers. And Jesus told this story. There was something he said to the 10 lepers. You know, there were 10 lepers that he spoke to, and he gave them instruction. He said, you know, when you go show your, just go show yourself to the priest. That's all he said. And as they went, the story is in Luke chapter 17. As they went, they discovered that their skin came back to fresh. I mean, all that leprosy just came off of them. Came back like the skin of a new baby. And they were healed by the word of God. And as they went, and when they saw they were healed, you know, they all were rejoicing. Many of them ran off probably to go show themselves to the priest, like I said, or even to the, you know, their friends and so forth. Some of them might have even forgotten to go show themselves to the priest, because they were so excited that they were, you know, now they are cured. But one of them, just one, realized that he was healed. You can read Luke 17 verses 11 to 19. And he returned, and with a loud voice we're told, glorify God. Well, I've often wondered, do people actually really with a loud voice glorify God after the victory? You know, sometimes we, when we are groaning and praying and agonizing, we can really dig in and get in there. But sometimes, you know, after the thing is done, you know, people just relax. And we don't give God the praise with the same intensity, you know, that we had when we were believing God and praying. You know, so, but let's change that. Let's learn. Jesus said, where are the 9 that were healed? There are not found any that return to give glory to God except this stranger. And the only one that came to return to them was a stranger among them. You know, the ones that were the household of Israel that were part of them, they didn't return to give glory to God. So what comes after the victory? Well, back to our story in 2 Chronicles 20, we see that after there were 3 days gathering of this spoil, there was something that they did, you know, after the 3 days. What did they do? Well, the Bible says that on the fourth day, and you can read that in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 26, and on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. Now, the battle was in the wilderness of Tekoa, but now here is what comes after the battle and the victory. They go to this place called the Valley of Berakah, and it was so named because of what they did. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah till today, because they returned every man and every one of them to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's what should come after victory. You know, that's how we should praise the Lord after victory. A good example in the story of Jehoshaphat, the next time you read it, read the rest of it. Don't stop after the Lord destroyed their enemies. Read it a little further down and see what they actually did. You know, Barakah in Hebrew means blessing. And so they went and they blessed the Lord. They gave the Lord the glory and the praise after the victory. And this is what Mordecai commanded the Jews. He said, look, you know, after that, the Lord had given the victory, you know, on one day, take twice as long, 2 days afterwards, to praise the beauty of holiness and to praise the Lord. And let it be a memorial for you throughout all your generations. You will remember the victory that God gave you, and you will celebrate with praise, thanksgiving, feasting and joy, and so on. You know, so, you know, that's what we are going to do today, because I believe with all my heart that the Lord gave us some tremendous victories yesterday. And if you believe it too, well, then, you know, we should return with praises to the Lord. Let me give you some stories here of people that returned with praising to the Lord besides Jehoshaphat. He's not the only one. There are some people that got tremendous victory and they knew how to come back and praise the Lord. Here are a few other stories. In the book of Exodus chapter 15, the first 21 verses, Moses sang this song after that the Lord had given them victory at the Red Sea. That's right. You know the story. Everybody does. Moses sang this song with the children of Israel unto the Lord, saying, in Exodus 15, verse 1, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. The right hand of the Lord, O Lord, thy right hand has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in thy greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overwhelmed even those that rose up against you and rose up against your people. Thou sentest forth thy wrath and consumed them as a stubble, you know, as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together and the flood stood aright, upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My loss shall be satisfied upon them. But the Lord said, you know, the Lord drew them in. The Lord suckered in, you know, the host of Egypt. And when they were right in the middle, he poured down his fury upon them, you know. They sank as lead. You blew with the wind and the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretched out thy hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take a hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. And the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold of them. And all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thy arm, they shall sit and be still as a stone because of the great things that they heard that the Lord did till that people pass over. And they began to just praise the Lord, you know, for the great things that the Lord did, and then, you know, encourage themselves that the Lord is going to do even greater until they got through the rest of the challenges that were on the way to the promised land, you know. So, you know, and he says, sing ye unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. You know, that was Miriam. She answered after Moses said all the things that he said. Then Miriam came back with tambourines and timbrels and dances, you know, with Aaron and the rest of them. And they said, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now, so this is how people bless the beauty of holiness and the Lord, you know, when the Lord had given them the victory. And this is what we must do. Every time the Lord gives the victory, we got to rejoice and praise the Lord. There was a story in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'm just going through some of these stories quickly where people praise the Lord after some great deliverance or some great victory so that we can learn how to do the same. In this story, there was a story in 2 Samuel chapter 6. The ark, prior to that, the ark had been captured by the Philistines, and the ark is now being returned, you know. And first, David was scared, you know, that the ark should not be returned to his own house. I mean, you might know the story and so on and so forth. But eventually, when he saw that, the ark was a blessing to, you know, the place, where they took the ark, the person's house where they took it, then he made arrangements, you know, to have the, ark returned and so forth. And anyway, when the ark of the Lord was coming back, you know, it was a day of joy. David saw in his heart how the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom, we're told. And he said, wow, you know, let's bring the ark back, you know. Because at first he said, well, you know, somebody tried to help the ark and he was killed. You know, so, you know, let's not bring. But when finally they brought the ark back, you know, we're told that David was so glad, you know. And look at all the things that he did as soon as the ark was coming. Let's read from verse 13. And it was told to King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertained unto him because of the ark of the Lord. So David sent and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Now, and it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And he was guarded with a linen ephod. So David and all his house brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet, with dancing, with rejoicing, etc. You know, so, you know, it was a great victory to have that ark returned to them. And so they praised, danced, and just exalted the Lord. And David was leaping and dancing before the Lord. Of course, there was somebody that wasn't quite happy about that. You know, I mean, there was a woman called Michal, who was Saul's daughter, that David had married. She despised David because of all the leaping and dancing and going crazy because of the victory of the ark returning. And she despised David in her heart. You know, now, it didn't end well for her. Never despise anyone that's praising the Lord. You know, this woman despised David in her heart. And I was like, you know, how in the world could you, as the king of Israel, debase yourself like that, dancing, leaping in the street like a crazy man? You got all the women that are looking at you, you know. And of course, you might remember the answer of David. He said, well, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father's house. So he gave it to her. God chose me over your father. Therefore, I will bless him. And if you think that was something, you haven't seen anything yet, I will be debase myself even more before the Lord. And all these women that you thought were, you know, despising me in their hearts, I will be had in honor before them. And the Lord was angry with that woman, smote her, and she became barren all the days of her life. You know, and so never despise someone that's giving God glory and praise after they receive some tremendous victory. So anyway, David was someone that knew how to praise the Lord. And all you got to do is read his Psalms. You know, I say, thy right hand, thy holy arm has gotten the victory. I cried unto the Lord with my distress, and he heard me and delivered me from all my distresses. And then he will go on a rant and just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and praise the Lord. I mean, too many Psalms for me to even read. You know how David used to do it. And that was one of the ways that the Lord, that he, you know, captured God's heart. Because God called him a man after my heart. He was someone that knew how, you know, he said, look, I cried unto the Lord. I was in a deep mess, you know. I was like in quicksand, and the Lord brought me out of the miry clay. That's like quicksand, and brought me out and put me on a rock. Give me a new song. And he would just go on and on and on. I mean, you could never shut him up. Once the Lord did any one thing for him, he would brag about it, he would rant about it, and he would sing about it. He said, look, I prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord thundered with his voice out of heaven. Coals of fire were hidden, you know, kindled by it. The Lord smote my enemies, and he would just praise the Lord on and on and on and on. You know, and that, you know, the Lord enjoyed that, you know. You know, when we give him praise after he has given us the victory, praise the Lord. So, you know, if you believe that the Lord are giving you the victory, especially after yesterday, then let's see if we can praise the Lord on here this morning. There's a few other stories that I want to share with us before we actually get into it. You know, Nehemiah, you know, there was, you know, might know the story of Nehemiah as well. You know, they're trying to rebuild the city and so forth. You know, people troubling them, you know, Sambalat, Tobiah, and everybody, you know, weakening their hands and so forth. But eventually, they got the victory, you know, over their enemies. And what did they do after they got the victory? Well, let's take a look at just one verse here in Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 43. What they did, you know, after the Lord gave them the victory, said, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also, the children, everybody, you know, rejoiced and they praised the Lord because the joy was so great. God had given them victory and the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And these are people that were not quiet about praising the Lord after victory. Their praises rang out. The earth even trembled. You know, it was heard afar off. The rumblings of the praise was heard afar off. Now, that's how you do it. We need to praise the Lord with all our strength when the Lord has given us the victory. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, here are some scriptures that establish the fact that God will always give us victory. Now, victories are assured after yesterday, but believe me, victories will always be assured if you praise the Lord. We got a proverb in my native language, the Yoruba language of Nigeria. You know, it's an adage and a proverb that says something like, you know, the person that is thankful for yesterday's benevolence will receive another one today. You know, so if you are thankful, and that's why, you know, people in our culture, when you do something for them and they thank them, they thank you yesterday. Today, when they see you, they'll be thanking you for what you did for them yesterday. And then 2 days later, they can't say yesterday. They will say the other day. You know, they will still be thanking you for what you did for them the other day. This is what it is. That's the way it is in our culture, you know. And when they do those things, you know, they'll say, oh, you know, well, the proverb or the adage says a person that is like that, you know, will inspire more benevolence, you know, from the person that did them good in the first place. You know, and that's the same thing. You know, if we, you know, the Lord does something for us and we are thankful for to him, well, you know, are likely to get more things done for us as well. You know, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, you know, tells us that God will give us the victory. He has given us victory and he will still give us victory. Thanks be unto God. Giveth us. Now that given there is continuous, is present continuous tense, you know. Giveth us, which is like he's always giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, which means therefore then we need to always also be praising the Lord. Same thing he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. He wrote pretty much the same thing. He said, you know, that thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. So because he always causes us to triumph, we should always also be praising him all the time. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Psalm 30. This is just an example. I mean, there are literally dozens of psalms where the psalmist, you do things like this, you know, just praise the Lord and so on and so forth after some victory. You know, usually, you know, he wasn't, you know, shy or bashful about telling of how God pulled him out of some mess. And he would always talk about it. Psalm 30 and verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. So God has already done something for him. And now he said, I will praise you, you know, because you have not allowed my foes to rejoice over me. Well, God did not allow Haman to rejoice over Mordecai and the Jews. Therefore, they returned to bless the Lord. You know, and they said, look, let's establish 2 days of thanksgiving following what the Lord did for us. He said, well, what did the Lord do for him? In this case, he said, well, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. Well, and so he's returning to praise the Lord. Did you cry unto the Lord and has God healed you? Well, why, and then you ought to return some praise to the Lord. He even said, look, thou hast brought my soul up from the grave, kept me alive, and I should not go down to the pit. He's thanking God for God saving his life from destruction. I remember what he said in Psalm 103. He said, you know, the Lord redeemeth my life from destruction. Hallelujah. So he's always ready to praise the Lord. And in fact, he invited the Lord to do more things for him because of his praises. That's right. You can invite the Lord to do more things for you because of your thanksgiving and your praise. And this is how he put it in Psalm 65 verse 1. He said, praise waited for thee, O God. In other words, look, you know, I'm going to praise the Lord, you know, and every time he does something good, I'm going to praise the Lord. We've also learned how we can actually put out our praise before we see the full effect of the victory. You can do that. We saw that in the story of Jehoshaphat. But more so after you get the response that you are believing God for, get the answer of peace, you get that victory, we got to come and praise the Lord. He said, praise is waiting for thee. And if you can tell the Lord that praise is waiting for thee, the Lord wants to get that praise. It's going to come on there and give you that deliverance. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Isn't that wonderful? This was a man that knew how to praise the Lord. And he always did it every time the Lord did something for him. I'm going to read two more quick verses for us from the book of Jeremiah. And then we are going to praise the Lord. There are a lot of scriptures that admonish us to give thanksgiving and praise to God after he does things. But I don't want this lesson to be too long. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 30, let's read a prophetic declaration. And this is something similar to what we did yesterday. When we believe and we declare, I said, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. Well, when we believe, well, let's declare it. And we did it yesterday. And here's what the Lord said in Jeremiah 30 and verse 18. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and I will have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be builded on her own heap. The palace shall remain after the old manner thereof, before it was destroyed. You know, so when the Lord does all those things for you, then what should happen after that? Well, here's the next verse, in verse 19. And out of them, see, after the Lord gives that restoration, after the Lord has mercy on your dwelling places, after the Lord heals your diseases, after the Lord gives you victory and, you know, over all the things that you are asking God for, what should be the next thing? What comes after that? Well, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that shall make merry. Well, that's what Mordecai said. Make merry, rejoice, and do all these things. And I will multiply them. There's even more tremendous blessings. When you praise the Lord for what he has done, he will give you even more blessings. I will multiply them and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. That's right. There are children also. Now, a group that is also blessing the Lord and praising the Lord, God will also multiply them. Their children also shall be as old time. The congregation will be established before me and I will punish all that oppress them. And God will give you nobles of your own self, not foreigners to come and reign over you. He said, look, nobles shall be of themselves. Their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. That's right. I will cause him to draw near. And he that approach unto me, you know, God said he will bless them. You know, and the Lord would, you know, I mean, just stand there. He wants you to hear it. That you will be my people and I will be your God. And this is what we do after praises. There will be voices of thanksgiving, voice of merriment, voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord. He said pretty much the same thing, Jeremiah 33 and verse 11. You know, after, you know, we get some deliverance, and some praise, and so on and so forth. You know, well, the Lord said, thus saith the Lord in verse 10. Of Jeremiah 33. Again, there shall be heard in this place, which you people have said are desolate without man and beast, even in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and beast, there will be heard again. Huh? So wherever there has been all these, you know, pummeling and buffetings and various things that the enemy have put upon you, setbacks and so forth, the which you wrote before the Lord yesterday, the things you want to get victory over, well, the Lord said, has come in the voice of joy, the voice of gladness. Listen to this. Even the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. You know, so people are looking to get married. Lord said, it's coming, you know, and the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And the voice of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. Why? Because I caused the captivity of the land to return. You know, as at the first, saith the Lord. So every time that the Lord does these things for us, we are to rejoice and praise him. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today. And let's enact and put into practice these things that we are talking about today. I want you to bring out the writing that you wrote before the Lord. I did tell you about this yesterday. bring it out and spread it again before the Lord. But this time around, we're not asking him to do it. We're thanking him for doing it. Praise the Lord. You know, one person said yesterday that he said he had a long list. Well, how long is your list? You know, if you only wrote one thing there, well, you did yourself a disservice. You know, unless the one thing you wrote is that the Lord should, you know, be your very reward. I mean, if the one thing you wrote is to get the Lord himself, then you got everything. Because if you got the Lord, then you got everything. And that's what the Lord told Abraham back in the day. I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. That's all you need. Don't need anything else if you get the Lord. You know, but of course, need consciousness kicked in. Well, give me this, give me son, give me that, give me the other. You know, if there's one thing that we want to write and there's only one thing that you're going to write, then it better be, Lord, let me get you. All of you. You know, because it's a complete package when you get him. You know, but as many as wrote down things from the Lord that they wanted, the Lord said prophetically, you know, well, write it down. He gave us the opportunity yesterday to get the victory prophetically. It was the 13th day of the month Adar for us, you know, the month, the 12th month, which so happened to be yesterday. And the Lord called it forth in the spirit. And we did it. So now bring those things again. And if you remember more things, put it on there as well. But this time around, let's praise the Lord for the victory. Even if you haven't completely seen it all yet in fullness, if you believe it with all your heart, then you're going to praise the Lord. And then when you see it fully, then you're going to praise the Lord some more. That's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. He believed the word of promise, you know, that tomorrow the Lord will give you the victory over this great company. You won't even need to fight. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. You will set yourself still and you'll see the Lord's do something amazing for you yesterday. And as soon as he believed, as soon as he heard that word, he believed it caused a shift in his mind, in his mindset, and even commanded all the people to worship the Lord. They all worshiped the Lord that whole day until the next day. And then he gathered the praisers. Say, well, you heard the Lord. You know, so let's praise him. But we know he's good. His word is good. He will make good on his word. If you believe the Lord, he will make good on his word. Then you don't need to physically see it before you start to praise him. You know, see, this is what Jehoshaphat did. He knew the Lord was going to make good on what he said. And even told the people, look, when you believe the Lord, you'll be established. When you believe the prophetic word, he will prosper you as well. And he believed it. And he knew it. And so he said, look, let's begin to praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. And then after they physically got the victory, came back in the valley of Berakah and blessed the Lord. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going into a time of praising the Lord over the victory. So bring out your list, spread it again before the Lord, and let's begin to thank him for it. And I'm going to give people opportunity this morning to express their thanks and their praise before the Lord. Don't be silent. If you are, the stones might cry out on your behalf. You know, that's not a good place. I don't want any stone to take my place. Do you? No. So I'm going to pray over the room. And then I want to hear, and we want to hear, the hosts of heaven want to hear you praising the Lord for the victory that you have received from the Lord. Our Father and our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. How great is thy hand. Even the Lord that said, that he has sworn by his arm and his right hand of his strength, that the enemies, your enemies, shall no longer devour thy corn for the which thou hast labored. But those of you that have labored for it and have gathered it, you will also eat it and drink it in the court of my holiness, saith the Lord. Lord, you have spoken those words and you have encouraged every one of us, and Lord, you have done it. The Lord has done it, whereof we are glad. And we are come, Lord. We want to be counted as the one that returned to give praise and glory to God. We don't want to be counted as the nine that did not return. But we want to be counted as the ones that returned. In the words of Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 23, it says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, and break forth into singing, ye mountains. And I should say, ye people of God, walking with God family, it is time to praise the Lord, to shout the victory, to break forth into singing, because the Lord has done it. Praise the Lord. Lord, we glorify your name. There are many things that were written, the writing of which you, by the Holy Spirit, inspired your people to write before you yesterday. Some wrote concerning victory over sickness. Some wrote concerning victory over setbacks. Some wrote concerning salvation of their loved ones and things. Some wrote concerning revival of their own spiritual lives. I mean, we wrote of so many things before you, Lord. God, we thank you. As we spread these letters before you again in Thanksgiving today, the day of Memorial Day of Thanksgiving, after the victory of the 12-13, they said on 12-14 and 12-15, give the Lord the praise. And so today we are returned to give you the praise. Prophetically, today being the day after the victory, this is the song of Purim. And we are going to praise the Lord because of what he did for us. Therefore, Lord, our soul doth magnify the Lord. We bless you for all the deliverances. Even as the psalmist said, you know, let my soul and everything that is within me bless his holy name for all that he has done. I cried unto the Lord in my distress, and he heard me out of his holy hill. The Lord blasted upon my enemies. The Lord has removed the oppression. The fury of the oppressor is broken. Dagon is followed and falling again before the ark of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all the victories that you have done for us. We return, Lord, to give you praise and to give you adoration. And we know, Lord, that the voice of praise, the voice of thanksgiving, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord, and that shall make merry and praise the beauty of holiness, those voices shall not cease from our camps in the name of the Lord Jesus. And let the voice of praise ring out this morning. Let your people, as they praise you, Lord, the praises come up to the Lord. Let these come before you as a sweet smelling savor. Hallelujah. Let the Lord smell, you know, you say, I will smell in your assemblies. But let the Lord smell the beauty of praise, even this morning. Let him soak it in as we praise him for what he has done. Praise him for what he has already done. Enter this way into God's presence. Today we praise you, Lord, for what you've done. We thank you because you have commanded the victory. We may have seen only portions of it or not all of it, but we know it is coming. Because you have commanded it so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For that which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring shall no man turn back. And we wrote it in your name yesterday. We sealed it with the name of the Lord and the blood of Jesus. And we know that no man can turn it back. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.